You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome into the Gym Class on this Monday, August the 9th here on KGYM. Great to have you aboard with us. Scott Unesh from our studios here in the Southwest Side. We got Ben on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes will join me coming up here in just a couple of moments. Good show coming up for you. We'll take a look at the weekend that was in the world of sports. The Olympics comes to a close. We've got the most anticipated season of Iowa State football media day today in Ames. And a little bit about that as college football getting underway. High school, the new cycle is underway. Fall practicing beginning. And we say goodbye to not only the Olympics, but one of the greats as far as college football is concerned. All that and more coming up for you here as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union here on the Gym Class on KGYM each and every weekday afternoon from 3 o'clock until 4 o'clock. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to dupaco.com and or just stop on by and see what they have to offer at one of their many, many locations up and down the corridor. Tell them Scott, Mark, Ben, everybody at KGYM sent you. Thanks for tuning in today on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, as well as 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream. KGYM mobile app, do yourself a favor and download that for you and the smart speaker as well. And we bring in Mr. Dukes here on this humid and partly sunny Monday afternoon after what I hope was a good weekend for Mark out there. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. It was good. I hope it was for you and everyone else out there as well. And yeah, it just makes sense. 90 degree day and humid on the first day of high school football practice, volleyball and golf and other sports as well. But yeah, another cycle of sports begins. Iowa State Media Day, as you mentioned, really kind of kicking off the season as well. It's a very short time away and another cycle of high school sports.
Another one indeed. And yeah, a different Media Day vibe, though, I think, today in Ames, not only due to the fact that Iowa State, one of the two favorites as far as the Big 12 Conference is concerned. And we talked about it a little bit, I think, during the week of media days when the conferences would hold them, not only in Indianapolis and in Dallas-Fort Worth, but in just kind of everywhere. And I think in this day, and I'm not so sure. Are media days going to hold on, Mark, if you will, with the one-on-ones? Because now we have Zoom interviews. You can just do that. Just not a whole lot coming out of Ames today as far as news and this guy, blah, 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 blah. You know, nothing certainly like it was 20 years ago or something like that.
No, things have changed, that's for sure. For the better, for worse, that's for others to decide. But as far as Matt Campbell goes, he spoke for the umpteen time about expectations with this Iowa State football team. And I don't know if it's a new phrase that's been coined, but we're talking about super seniors. Those guys that had a chance to come back to the program, and Iowa State has many of them, they're calling themselves super seniors now, and makes sense, I suppose. You got freshmen and redshirt freshmen. You got seniors and six-year seniors. I don't know. But at any rate, Campbell also had great things to say about Xavier Hutchinson, the number one wide receiver at Iowa State. But Not much news, so to speak.
Yeah, just a lot of expectations over there in Ames, no doubt about that. 319-366-1600. That is your direct avenue to contact us here at KGYM. That is our text line available to you. Again, that is 319-366-1600. If you'd like to pick up the phone and dial us up, you may do so at that same number, 319-366-1600, and Ben will gladly talk with you here on this Monday afternoon. Sad news in the world of college football over the weekend. Yesterday, as a matter of fact, and we learned, actually, we knew that Bobby Bowden was in hospice care. We knew that Bobby Bowden didn't have a whole long time left on the planet, but still, it is sad when the news finally breaks and comes down the line. But one of the greats as far as college football coaching, gentlemen, certainly as far as being on the sidelines is concerned, the great Bobby Bowden, winner of two national championships, passing away over the weekend.
Yeah, he was an original, that's for sure, and one of the great college football coaches of all time. If you're too young to remember his Florida State team, that's too bad, because I think a dozen, 14, 15 times straight years, they finished in the top five in college football. They were one of the gold standards, no question about it. Bowden was also very entertaining, very accessible. You could listen to him talk for hours. He embraced the black athlete as much as anybody. Remember him inserting Charlie Ward in as the starting quarterback, and that was kind of unheard of back in Ward's day. Ward, of course, a two-sport athlete, a terrific basketball player as well. But yeah, Bowden at 91. We knew he was ill with pancreatic cancer, and finally succumbed. Succumbed to that disease. And again, he was a treasure that I don't know if you have many of them these days.
No, you don't. And much like Hayden Fry in his day, kind of a bigger than life personality, if you will. Florida State, basically Florida State football for a while, before Bobby Bowden got there, was basically known as, hey, Burt Reynolds played there. Or was on the
team. Yeah, Miami was much the same before Howard Schnellenberger got there.
Indeed.
Indeed.
And Florida State kind of had a parallel rise at about the same time that Miami did. And you had all those epic battles between the Seminoles and the Hurricanes and the wide rights for so many times. That Bobby Bowden just could not get over the top as far as the Hurricanes are concerned with his Seminoles, but did win a pair of national championships and was he was a folk hero, like you said. He had a they wrote a song about Bobby Bowden. I don't have the song with me, obviously. We couldn't probably play it anyway due to copyrights, but somebody thought well enough of that gentleman to write a country song about him. you don't get that very often. There aren't a lot of Nick Saban country tunes, are there? I haven't heard any.
Can we get Dallas Jacobus to write a song about Hayden Fry? You know, Dallas, the former Kennedy athlete and Iowa football player, who's embarking on a singing career right now. Come on, Dallas, do that for us.
Except Hayden stopped coaching before Dallas was born, I believe. But
that's okay.
You can give it a Google. It's fine. Look it up out there. 319-366-1600 at 313 here on the Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. And, Iowa State Media Day. Matt Campbell did talk for about 40 minutes or so today, and a lot of that about the expectations about this Iowa State football team, and there are certainly great expectations out there about this particular team. News today, we mentioned the fact that a new cycle as far as the high school sports year, the calendar year, gets underway today, if you will, Mark. Of course, last week was camp week, and J.R. Ogden, I liked his article in the Gazette today, a little bit of an opinion piece about getting underway with a brand new year, and we don't really know expectations, all the way through on how things go. But I love how he put the word, yes, coming off a week of, quote, optional, unquote, camps.
And optional preseason conditioning.
Yeah. Yes, and optional preseason conditioning. They're optional to the fact that you probably better be there is the way it works. But at any rate, we do have that. You mentioned volleyball, cross country, swimming out there as well. Girls swimming and diving and the football, of course, getting all underway today. And don't worry, football is not practicing right now in the middle of the day. It's usually coaches, you can't do two-a-days now, Mark, as you know. Two-a-days are outlawed. And so your coach either picks very early in the morning or very late in the evening is one or the other. There is no in-between now.
Boy, those two-a-days, 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. practice, yeah. That wasn't much fun.
Salt tablets. Things
he
like
had trays of them around.
Oh, my gosh. It is a far cry. And it's better now, obviously, much better than what it was back in the day. And, you know, technology has picked up. We just know a lot more about how to take care of ourselves, take care of athletes, et cetera, than we used to know. So before you... before you get mad at those coaches back in the days with the salt tablets and the trainers and things like that, we know a lot more now.
And things are going to change in high school basketball.
Yeah.
In 2022 and 23, Scott.
Very, very much going to change, as we knew that the Federation of High School, the National High School Athletic Federation, had approved the use of a shot clock. It was already here in a few states, but now it is certified as far as the entire country is concerned, and it was announced today that the state of Iowa, starting in 2022-2023, will implement a shot clock. At the start, it will only be in varsity competition, however. They will get the other levels of competition involved at a later date. There is, of course, the cost involved in getting a shot clock. More importantly, I believe, is the fact that you have to find the right person to run said shot clock. It is not an easy task because you can get caught watching the game at times. But as far as making the game better, Mark, I think in the long run, it's a step forward. You are not going to see... the biggest change is going to be when you get into the postseason. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And in big games, so many times you saw just these low-scoring affairs where you'd hold on to the ball a minute or whatever the case may be. But it sounds as though those days are, at least after next season, are going to be in the past. And I think I resist change as much as the next person in my age bracket. But I think this is a refreshing change, and I think it will be good for basketball.
Yeah, and this is something that's not necessarily surprising since the National Federation came out with its thoughts on it, adopting it, and allowing state associations to do as they wish. Both the Boys and Girls Associations in Iowa have said 2022-2023, as you mentioned, varsity teams only will operate with a 35-second shot clock. A couple opinions here. I think it's a good move. Nothing more I hate than watching a state championship game and one team takes the air out of the ball for 4 minutes. And while it's legal, it's boring. You should be able to get off a shot in 35 seconds. The other part of this is that it's a cost to schools all across the state. The cost of a shot clock system is between $2,000 and $5,000, depending on whether you mount it above the scoreboard or on the wall. Various systems are going to cost in that range. And then, as you alluded to, you have to hire people and train them on operation of said shot clock. And, you know, that's going to be an expense as well. I don't know how much these people are going to be paid for a couple hours, but it is an additional expense for high schools. But I do think it's going to improve the game.
I would agree. 319-366-1600. Your comments are welcome at 319-4185. from the 563 area code. 2 days made the world go around, Mark. Okay.
Yeah, the world spun during those days.
It did. The world very much spun as far as that is concerned. Olympics, that closed up shop over the weekend as it took to the last day of competition. In fact, the last hours of competition. But the United States wins the gold medal count by one over China. The United States was never headed as far as the total medal count was concerned, but there were a lot of people out there, the naysayers, that thought that was not a good Olympic showing for the Americans because they were not winning as far as the gold medal category is concerned. But the U.S. came back thanks to women's volleyball winning their first ever, or at least first one in a long time anyway, as far as gold medal is concerned, the women's water polo team with the fine Paul Burmeister on the call, by the way, Eastern Iowa's finest, one of them anyway, winning that gold medal. I think they beat Spain in that final. But and then, of course, Nelly Korda winning in golf. The Americans won both the men's and women's gold as far as Olympic golf is concerned, and that, as much as anything, put the United States over the top.
Yeah, you're quite right about the medal count. And if you're going to be in the Olympics, you might as well try to win it. And the overall medal count for the United States, it was a comfortable victory in that regard. But I'm not sure this Olympics is going to be remembered for a whole lot, aside from the fact that it was postponed a year because of COVID. Many Japanese people didn't even want the Olympics to be held. There were no fans, family, friends. We saw Zoom pictures of parents and their relatives. I couldn't watch in person, even if they wanted to. It was a different Olympics. There's no question about it. But I think for those people, I thought there was going to be widespread outbreaks of COVID. Forgive me, I didn't hear.
As far as athletes, anyway.
Of such a thing. No. There were moments and there were good stories that were written about athletes who had come from various backgrounds, be they a Harvard graduate or someone who really was down on their luck early in their life and then came back and won a medal of some kind. And I've said before, I love those types of stories every Olympics, but I love the Olympics. I watched a fair share of them. But in some respects, I'm kind of souring on the Olympics. You know, in 2024 in Paris,
yeah,
they're not going to have baseball. They're not going to have softball. But they will have breakdancing.
True.
I mean, that's going to bring in a younger audience. I get it. But no baseball, no softball? You got to be kidding me.
Hopefully, it'll make a comeback.
I think it's scheduled in 2028, but I don't know. I don't think I'm watching a whole lot of
Not anything against it. Not anything. I was with you and love to hear your comments out there. Did you watch a lot
of
the Olympics?
I'm against the Olympics.
What's that?
I'm against it being in the Olympics.
Oh.
Plain and simple.
319-366-1600. Was this a successful Olympics for the Americans? Did you watch a lot of it? Was it a successful one as far as Tokyo is concerned? I think for the most part, yes. You can check all those boxes out there. And, you know, the Olympics is sort of that last bastion as far as sports going from the pre-internet generation to now where we have information at the snap of a finger. So many things have changed due to that. I don't have to tell anyone that. So many things, so many ways that you get your information, so many ways. Well, great example, media days. There's just not as much hype around media days that there used to be before you had all the information and all the technology behind you as far as you know, the World Wide Web, the internet, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But now You know, it's a whole different world as far as getting in touch with a reporter, with an athlete out there. It's just different. But the Olympics are kind of that last bastion, if you will. The big time event that did not come around very often. And you didn't have a ton of sports out there. You had one game in baseball a week on television, maybe two, and ABC started doing their primetime in the middle of the summer. I mean, it's a different vibe. I think the Olympics are holding on. I think they are holding their own. No, you didn't have great television numbers this time around, but I think we've talked about it before. The 13 and 14 and whatever hour difference was tough. But, you know, for the most part, I thought NBC did a fine job. I got nothing against the whole Zoom with your family thing, but the hopefully down the line, the next Summer Olympics in 3 years in Paris, if they have to go that route, it's going to be a lot better technology-wise, because the delay between what the athlete says and then he waits for his family, and there's another delay there as it the signal bounces off the satellite, goes down to another satellite, goes out to, you know, Poughkeepsie, New Jersey, or wherever they're located, and then you're talking on top of each other, and it just got to be a pain for a while.
It did. It was different in that regard. There's no question. 34-22 on the text line. When the Olympics tried to cancel wrestling, that's when I lost a lot of interest. And thanks to Dan Gable and others for saving Olympic wrestling. It still needs some help. There's only six weight classes. They need to increase the number of weight classes in wrestling, I think. But as far as the overall Olympics, we're going to put it in the rearview mirror, convene again in 3 years, and hopefully things will be a bit different.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of wrestling, that was, if you saw the end of the Gable-Stevenson matchup, the amazing win for the University of Minnesota wrestler to win the gold medal. What this guy has accomplished, I mean, we're living in the Spencer Lee era here in the state of Iowa. Spencer Lee himself just is going to be an Olympic champion. I don't think anyone out there is going to say that Spencer Lee is not going to do that. But the young man from Minnesota is doing that right now. And the end of that match was just amazing. Less than a second to go, and he comes up with the winning move to win a gold medal. And this guy's coming back to wrestle against the Hawkeyes and the rest of the Big Ten and the rest of the country next year.
Yeah, we talked a bit about it on Friday. You just have to see the replay of that match. Stevenson beat a three-time world champion and was down 8-5 late in the match. And you described it well. Came back and won in the final seconds. And this guy's 21. And he's probably got at least a couple more Olympics in him if he chooses to. One of the greats already in wrestling, and he's not done.
No, Stevenson is very, very good. Amazing. I did not hear of anyone leaving their wrestling shoes out in the middle of the mat, though, this time. Maybe I missed that. I don't know. But usually have that in the Olympic Games. But, you know, and really in track and field, before we leave the Olympics here and get to a scoreboard update, track and field, the men, I believe, only won one gold, and that was the 4x1 at the was it 4x1 or 4x4 at the end?
4x4, yeah.
Okay.
They won the gold.
That was the lone gold.
4x1 didn't even qualify for the final.
No, they did not. They did not. But the only gold that the American men brought back was that particular gold medal. Did a fantastic job as far as that relay is concerned. But it just shows how good the entire world is, not only athletically, but as far as the track and field is concerned. 319-366-1600. 85-32, say it isn't so. Stevenson will have a few more Olympic cycles in him if Vince McMahon and the WWE allow it in his upcoming contract. Smiley face. No, I think he's staying. we'll see. We'll see. 319-366-1600. UFC and WWE are in his future. I don't know.
Probably so. Golden Boy Gable.
Yeah, but man, I mean, nothing against, I know there are people, a lot of people that love pro wrestling, but I want to see Gable Stevenson do this, you know, on the Olympic front, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe they'll give him the Olympic year off or something. If he wants to do both, fine, whatever. But gold medals, man. Gold medals. Go get yourself a gold medal. Go get another gold medal.
why do athletes bite their gold medal?
I've never had one, so I really don't know.
I've often thought of that. I tried to Google it, and it's not made of real gold, but still can't taste very good. Why do they do that?
Did you see the medals were made out of recycled phone bits? Did you know that?
Maybe more edible then, huh?
I'm not eating my phone either, Mark, but if you want to, you know, the same effect, just take your cell phone and just give it a big chomp. Or the innards of your phone. I don't know. Maybe I think it was more the innards than the case or anything like that. So that's what the metals were constructed of. They were recycled. So yay for planet Earth on that one. 3:31. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. More on the weekend that was in the world of sports. Plenty to get to as of yet. But we need to get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard. It is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They're located on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall and behind the Taco John's. What do we got on the scoreboard this afternoon?
We have an abbreviated slate in Major League Baseball today, a half a dozen games, none of which have started yet. But we will have Twins baseball against the Chicago White Sox, who put a knot on the Cubs' head. The last four games.
Three. Sweep. But who's counting?
Hopefully they got it out of their system. But Twins White Sox tonight, 6:30 with the pregame on 107.5 FM. Former Hawkeye Luka Garza made his NBA Summer League debut with the Detroit Pistons last night. He scored 9 points, grabbed 4 rebounds in 13 minutes. Tyler Cook, another former Hawkeye, with the Pistons, a non-roster player, had 11 points and 5 rebounds in 23 minutes. Tonight, 6 o'clock on ESPNU, you can catch Joe Wieskamp and his San Antonio Spurs against Minnesota. Also on the Hawkeye front, sophomore to be Caitlin Clark. Wow. Tremendous game against Australia in the World Under-19 Basketball Championships. 24 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, and one more game before entering the knockout rounds. America will play Egypt, I believe. And, man, Clark is going to be fun to watch this year and a couple more years, Scott.
Amazing. She is just amazing. And, yeah, Hawkeye's glad to have her around for 3 more years. No doubt about that. We'll talk more about the Twins and the White Sox coming up in Major League Baseball here in a little bit, and other things from the weekend in sports and more when we return after this. You're listening to The Gym Class right here on KGYM. Back after this.
I have yet to run into any staff member that has even appeared to be having a bad day. I mean, they're just so welcoming.
Every experience I have with them, I walk away and I'm like, gosh, they're great there.
It's the we share your values feeling Ben and Aaron get at Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust.
We made the switch to Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust, roughly 5 years ago.
I hate change. I kind of fought it, but I was completely wrong.
The switch was so easy. You're actually connecting with it. With a human.
They couldn't be better at what they do.
They're a very community-minded bank. Many nonprofits we're involved in, we see CRBT out there.
Every time they go above and beyond.
The kids' experience has been great as well. They send a hand-signed birthday card to each of our children on their birthday. That goes to show who Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust is.
Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust, celebrating 20 years of people you can bank on. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good morning, boss.
Yeah, what's good about it? We're having computer problems again, and we can't get our work done.
Call the help desk?
You mean the whole desk?
Huh?
Every time I call, they put me on hold, or tell me someone will call me back in a couple of hours. We don't have a couple of hours.
We need to get our work done. We need help now.
Oh, in that case, you need to call IT Solutions. They don't have a help desk.
Then how do we get help?
IT Solutions continually monitors their clients' networks so they find and fix over 70% of their technology problems before they interrupt the workflow. If your current IT company says they do that, then why do they need a hold desk for you to call to tell them about your technology problems? With IT Solutions, on the rare occasions their monitoring misses something, when you call, you get help now, never a hold desk.
We need to get our work done.
Learn more online at WeNeedHelpNow.com.
WeNeedHelpNow.com.
In a game of business, it's all about who gets in and who doesn't. Because you have important things to protect, like equipment, your building, and people's information. Level up your security with Network Computer Solutions. They're experts at keeping your data safe, and they can also keep your physical space safe. From camera systems and door access to 24-hour video surveillance, NCS will customize a system for the way you work. Network Computer Solutions, keeping your building, your equipment, and of course, your data secure. Visit NCSEI.com.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Back on the Gym Class here in KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us as we take it through the 3 o'clock hour on this Monday. We are presented, as always, by DuPaco Community Credit Union. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. Again, that is 319-366-1600. As we start a brand new week, and a good one out there. Of course, Iowa State football had their media day today. That is the subject of our poll question. It is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his entire group at Hawkeye Title and Settlement on Highway 1 West in Iowa City. Our question, I don't know if we got Steve's permission, it is a cyclone question today.
I think Steve is okay with that.
Steve's fine.
Will Iowa State live up to its preseason hype? Yes or no? Go ahead and vote, KGYMRadio.com.
Yeah. Guess it remains to be seen on how that all plays out. But, I think there obviously have never been expectations higher than what is going on right now as far as Iowa State football is concerned. But we'll see how it all plays out. You mentioned the Twins and the Sox coming up tonight. We got it at 6:30 for you on the Gym OT, 107.5 FM. Guess who's back tonight, Mark?
Who's got?
That would be Luis Robert back in the lineup. Wonderful. For the White Sox.
Wonderful.
14 weeks he was out. They said 12 to 16. It was 14. Huzzah for the doctors. They got that right on the money, basically. But back. Batting seventh, playing center field tonight in the Chicago order. Eloy Jimenez, who hit two home runs last night against the Cubs, moves to the DH role tonight. Goodwin will play right. Lourie Garcia will play left field tonight for the White Sox. Behind Lucas Giolito as the Twins and the Sox go at it.
Yeah, you know who is favored in this game, and it is the Chicago White Sox. And played very well against a depleted Chicago Cubs lineup at Wrigley Field the last four games. But now, I mean, the White Sox have a stranglehold on the American League Central, leading by 10 and a half games over Cleveland. I don't think there's much question as to where Chicago is headed at the end of the season. The Twins, quite surprisingly to me, took three of four at Houston. Against the Astros, and probably could have won all four. Every game was pretty tight, I should say, but I guess in this game, you just never know. And Twins playing out the string right now. One more thing about, don't look now, but the Philadelphia Phillies leading the NL East.
Yeah. Phillies have won, what, 8 in a row, and doing that at the same time as the New York Mets are losing. They have lost 4 in a row, and suddenly the Braves are now only 2 games out. First time they've been over 500 since very early in the season, but the Phillies, they have jumped to a 2-game lead as far as the National League East is concerned. The Reds are suddenly 10 games over 500.
Yeah.
How about that, huh?
5 games back, and the Cubs could do the Reds a favor because Chicago plays Milwaukee in a series that starts tonight. Yeah, that's your reward, Cub fans, getting swept by the White Sox and then having to face the division leaders. But as witnessed in the Twins-Astros series, anything can happen.
No doubt. No doubt about that. And you mentioned the Sox with a 10.5 game lead right now. Vegas came out, a book in Vegas, I'm not sure which one, came out with odds as far as the American League and National League teams to make the playoffs. And the White Sox setting the pace in the American League, 99.6. It was either 99.6 or 99.7% probability that they will get into the postseason at this point.
Yeah, it would require a total collapse, and I don't see that happening. The lineup getting better with the return of Robert and Jimenez, and excellent pitching staff. Added Kimbrel on the back end, even though he struggled his first time out.
Shockingly.
Excuse me?
Shockingly.
Yeah, but that's an excellent ball club.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed as far as Sox fans are concerned, and see how it all plays out right there. 3:41 here in the Gym Class, the Monday edition here on KGYM. We talked a little bit about the new season getting underway as far as high schools. The shot clock is coming as far as high school basketball is concerned. Said goodbye to Bobby Bowden today as well. By the way, and this absolutely caught me by surprise, and I guess I now, after thinking about it, did realize I heard that this actress contract cancer a few years back. But man alive, Marky Post, Mark. Of course, was Christine Sullivan on Night Court. And now, of course, you've got everyone saying that this is a show that is now has some sort of hex on it, Night Court, because two of the stars of Night Court we have lost over the last month. We lost Mac with Charles Robinson. Before that, of course, during the run of the show, two of the bailiffs, not Bull, but the two female bailiffs, also both passed away during the show. Harry Anderson, of course, who played Judge Harold T. Stone, was also, we lost. Very, very soon and too early as far as a great talent that he was. But Marky Post, though, that's and also was the played the brilliantly the mother to Cameron Diaz in There's Something About Mary as well, one of the funniest movies around. But we lost her over the weekend.
Well, Marky Post, one of my favorites for more than one reason. She was good in Night Court. John Larroquette.
John Larroquette, yeah.
Yeah. And he had an interest in her, and I think a lot of people did. But she was 70 when she died over the weekend, and had a very good career. Film credits, many television credits as well. So, yeah, she was on the Love Boat. Wow.
Who wasn't on the Love Boat?
Fantasy Island. Yeah.
Well, the
I'm
same
looking through her credits here.
Same thing. She was on The Fall Guy as well. Good show right there with Bob Urich and others. So yeah, that was a loss. That hit home as far as our generation is concerned. But Too bad for Marky Post. 319-366-1600. By the way, we were talking about baseball before I interrupted with Marky Post there. And, of course, Thursday is the game at the Field of Dreams between the Sox and the Yankees. And, by the way, we will have that one for you. ESPN Radio picking that one up. And that will be Thursday night, 6 o'clock. All of our frequencies will have that with the first pitch scheduled at 6:10. Supposed to be warm, but supposed to be dry. They did get pretty beneficial rains. If you were north, you got some good rains. In fact, there was some localized flooding in the up toward the Minnesota border, Charles City, in that neck of the woods. They had over 4 inches of rain, and you get that right now with as dry as it is. It's just going to run off. You're going to have problems with that. We could use some here in the east central part. Southern, southeastern Iowa got some rains. Now northeastern Iowa got some rains. We're the one that's kind of missing the boat, so to speak, right now. But at any rate, it looks to be good weather coming up for the Yankees and the White Sox coming up on Thursday evening.
We found out today via Tommy Burch that Urbandale native Pat Hoberg will be umpiring behind the plate for this game. So I think kind of a nice move by Major League Baseball to put an Iowan behind the plate. But I'm interested to see the production here of the game, what it's going to look like. I can only imagine the players coming out of the corn and whatnot as they did in the Field of Dreams. And I have to wonder how many players have seen Field of Dreams. Don't you think if the Yankees and the White Sox, members of the team, are going to play in Dyersville, Iowa, they might catch the Field of Dreams and try to watch it, see what it's all about?
I would think it's a prerequisite. Right? Doesn't it have to be a prerequisite?
I think it was on the MLB Network last night. And it probably will be for the next couple days.
I think it probably will be. As well it should be. As well as it should be out there. 319-366-1600. As we come your way here on the Monday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. We get a big week as well. Knoxville Nationals, Iowa Media Day, Iowa State Media Day was earlier today. As we mentioned, Iowa is going to go on Friday as far as their Media Day is concerned. The Field of Dreams game. Iowa's in the spotlight, man, this week.
Yeah, and in many respects, as you mentioned, with the racing and the baseball game and college football kicking off. And again, Iowa Media Day on Friday. Not an opportune time for when local programming is also on the air, but we'll bring as much news out of that Media Day as possible.
Yeah, and it should be very interesting to see how that will go. The questions asked, and the newbies will be around, too, as far as Iowa football is concerned. That is a welcome change, I think. Another thing that's changing.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to be able to hear from the freshmen. I think Kirk Ferentz has lifted that prohibition, so to speak, on allowing freshmen to speak to the media. As he should have for a long time. These kids have been speaking to media for years before they even arrive on campus. I think it's a good move in that regard, and it only makes sense. You know, if for some reason a freshman is one of the stars of the game, nothing more frustrating than not being able to hear from him.
And a change as far as getting into 2021. And a Kirk that's a little bit more, I think, thinking of the what's going on right now, the internet age, the future, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's only good as far as that is concerned. 3:48 here in the program. By the way, I got to throw this out for hockey folks. Mike Lang, who's 46 years the broadcast voice of the Pittsburgh Penguins. And if you know hockey, you know this gentleman. Because he has got the gruff voice, not quite that bad, but he's got the barrage of one-liners like nobody's business as far as not only hockey broadcasting, but really broadcasting in general. Some of his great ones. Ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has just left the building. That one. And scratch my back with a hacksaw. after goals. Announcing his retirement from the Pittsburgh Penguins today. So we will miss him out there as far as one of the great voices. And hope he has a great retirement out there. If you know hockey, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, you're probably going, what in the world is Scott talking about at this present time? But at any
Well, rate. I guess I'm in the latter group, but I'm not aware of this gentleman, but sounds like he's a very colorful guy, and I'm sure hockey fans know him very well.
Yeah. Final break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Hall of Fame, the NFL Hall of Fame. Peyton Manning had him in stitches over the weekend in Canton, Ohio. And, we'll talk about that and other things when we return on the Gym Class Monday edition coming your way, presented by DePaco Community Credit Union on KGYM.
We know that we can count on DePaco to help us reach our dreams. They're always there for us. After my father had passed away, I'd gotten some of the guns. It just brought back memories of us going hunting Christmas morning, Thanksgiving morning. That was just time that I wished I had more of. You reflect on things and wished you could have done things different. I had time and I just completely took them apart. It just really intrigued me how the parts all worked together and everything. I enjoyed it. Then that's when I started looking into gunsmithing schools.
Usually I'm the one with the dream and then he somehow makes it happen. So I called DePaco and I got a hold of Cassie and she found a way to make it happen. DePaco has always been there for us, so as soon as we got the loan, I knew that our future was going to go down a different path.
I think you'd be very impressed that I chose to go this route.
Your money, for good. Learn more at DePaco.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
Reddit user FlamoDamo says, "This is the worst phone I've owned. People are always bothering me about it. I'm scared just to use my phone in public as a random someone may just give me a stupid grin or whisper to their friends. I cannot stand the fact that I just can't relate to normal phones anymore."
Are you ready for this life? Find out at Samsung.com/reserve. That's Samsung.com/reserve.
With the Capital One Saver Card, you earn unlimited 4% cash back on dining out or in. 4% back on entertainment or on popular streaming. And now, 3% back at grocery stores so you can make the cake that makes her day.
Happy birthday to you.
So earn unlimited cash back for going out or staying in with the Capital One Saver Card. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Back with you at 3:52 here in the Gym Class on KGYM. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn comes your way next from 4 until 6. Twins baseball at 6:30, Twins and the White Sox tonight. And that will be a 7:10 first pitch. That'll be on the Gym OT 107.5 FM. And Mark, over the weekend, of course, last Thursday, we had the Hall of Fame game, the Steelers and the Cowboys. By the way, the NFL getting started this week as far as the regular preseasons toward the weekend anyway. The preseason games, only 3 of them for most teams this year. Keep that in mind as a little bit more meaning as far as the preseason in the NFL is concerned. But they had the two classes, 2020 and 2021, that were inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton. By the way, if you've not been there and you have an opportunity to do so, please do yourself a favor. Just a tremendous, tremendous place. Been there once. Love to go again. Not sure I got through everything the first time, but it is an amazing, amazing place. But Peyton Manning was the hit of the show. As you can imagine, that the quarterback who's been on Saturday Night Live, who has hosted many game shows, variety shows, et cetera, who's going to be a tremendous, tremendous NFL analyst someday, had him in stitches in Canton. He was like going off of the Dean Martin celebrity roast, Mark. No one was safe in Canton, Ohio, over the weekend with Peyton Manning.
excuse me. No, he's an extremely witty guy. Tom Brady was in attendance to observe Manning's induction. And I think even Brady didn't avoid an error or two from Peyton Manning. He was certainly at his best during that speech. And I didn't catch them all. But what I did catch, I was glad to see Tom Flores go in.
Yeah.
I mean, among the great coaches in NFL history, he's not often mentioned. I mean, a Super Bowl win as a head coach, a player, an assistant coach. I mean, this is a phenomenal guy who played in the NFL and coached in the NFL. And just listening to, you know, name a player and listen to him go through his career and the people that meant a lot to that particular player, and some really heartfelt speeches. We have them every year, I know, but that part was really interesting to hear. And a lot of them didn't have to write anything down. They just spoke off the top of their head. I think Manning was one of them as well.
Yeah, extemporaneously, and did a tremendous job. I think very, very good for that. By the way, Jeff Linder tweeting out 5 minutes ago that it is all but now set in stone that both the Iowa High School Athletic Association and the Girls Union are going to bring the shot clock on 2022-2023. He is reporting there will be a joint release sent out by the two organizations coming up at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. So, good stuff right there. Before we let everyone go, by the way, yesterday, very good golf. Abraham Answer with his first tournament win in the World Golf Championships. He wins the FedEx St. Jude Classic down to TPC Southwind in a three-man playoff with Sam Burns and Hideki Matsuyama. But I think the big winner yesterday may have been Harris English, Mark, who squandered a 3-4 shot lead, something like that. He and Bryson DeChambeau were put on the clock. Harris English, they were going to interview him afterwards, graciously said he would interview with CBS, answered every question very frankly, and a lot of people really touting what he did and tuning the horn of Harris English today.
Yeah, he endeared himself to a lot of golf fans, that's for sure. Straight up answers. These guys were put on the clock, I think, on the front nine. And DeChambeau, he doesn't play the fastest. And, you know, on the back nine, these two guys shot a collective 11 over par. And there had to be a couple rulings. They got a hole and a half behind the group in front of them. By the way, why does the last group need to be put on the clock? They're not holding up anybody, I guess, to abide by, you know, everything everybody else is. But DeChambeau is, I think, losing a lot of favor with people. He has not spoken with the print media, so-called print media, for a week or two now because he thinks he's been thrown under the bus in this whole Koepka and DeChambeau thing. He had some fans kicked out at the event and the St. Jude Classic because of what they were saying about him. I don't know. This guy might be unraveling.
We'll see. By the way, public service announcement before we go from 4570 about the Field of Dreams. Just drove up there to see the site, especially the stadium. The site is closed to the public all week. Please share that with your listeners. Make sure they don't make the same mistake I did. You cannot see the stadium, the Field of Dreams stadium up there.
That's too bad.
Which is, yeah. All right, we'll have the game for you Thursday right here on KGYM. Mark, have a good night. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Sounds good. Talk to you then.
All right, Todd and Alex coming your way next right here on KGYM.
Okay, let's play a little game. How many pairs of footwear do you think Skechers have sold? 100 million? 200 million? 500 million? Not even close, Shunak the Magnificent. Over 2 billion with a cap.